Wouldn't you love to get paid for doing what you love to do? If you're ready to move on to what's next, join us for Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson. Our uplifting live talk show on Saturday mornings from 10 to noon will have you circling back, not running in circles, to pull your experience forward in new ways. Advance your career, plus help others with theirs. Join us Saturdays, 10 to noon, right here on 104.1 The Truth, for pragmatic advice and unconventional wisdom. Circles of Change with Dr. Zara Larson, where your path is created by walking on it. Thank you again for joining us in Circles of Change. A happy holiday season to everyone. Of course, our second hour, it's a real pleasure for me to welcome two real characters that came to be with us in the studio today, Sean Cogan and Jeffrey McBride from the Hall of Frames organization. Welcome, gentlemen.
Oh, thank you.
Doctor.
That's great. Thank you, Doctor.
I'd love
that.
Excited to be here.
Excited. We're glad to have you here. Let me tell you, and Sean came down from Phoenix, and we've been doing a race around drill here this morning. Let me do a brief introduction. Sean is a third-generation leader of the Hall of Frames family-owned and operated Framing Center and Picture Gallery, headquartered in Phoenix. Hall of Frames was founded by Sean's grandparents and today has 12 stores. Armed with double undergraduate degrees in strategic marketing and business management from ASU, the other school, Sean has actually been in the picture frame business since age 12, although he tested other career opportunities with Target and Deloitte & Touche before joining full-time. In addition to overseeing the total operations today, Sean serves as Vice President of Marketing, working with corporate clients, designing all print, web, and in-store advertising. He's a marathon runner and enjoys yoga, basketball, and being the master entertainer and event planner for friend and family get-togethers. Thus, he's really well-equipped for the vice president marketing role, I'm sure.
Oh, I try.
And you try your best. Well, Sean's technical framing mentor and trainer, though, is none other than Jeffrey McBride, who led the outfitting to opening in 1997 of the Tucson Hall of Frames store, which is located at Crossroads Festival. It's the northeast corner of Swan and Grant. In fact, you might find me or my husband there on frequent occasions. We love getting things done at your store. Jeffrey has had the pleasure of managing the store and guiding the evolution of product offerings and growth of their customer base. Originally from Ohio, he worked in Youngstown State University's silkscreen department while in college running their art loan program, then managed a framing and fine art gift shop. Also a physical fitness buff like Sean, he is an artist, having hosted an exhibition of original mixed media pieces. He enjoys walking and the alternative lifestyles with tattoos, piercing, and fringe jackets. So tell me, Hall of Frames, I love the brand line that nobody frames you like us.
It really is our line, I guess you'd say. Yeah. It's a totally different situation when you walk into a Hall of Frames, especially you see Jeffrey, and he is a work of art himself.
There you go. I like that. Okay, now these two guys are going to point at each other. Well, tell me, Sean, give us the rundown on the history of this show, because it's so wonderful to think that you're now a steward of that which your grandparents created.
Oh, you got it. Well, a little bit of history just about the Hall of Frames really quick is my grandfather back in the 1960s or so was into paint and got into oil paintings, and he moved out to Arizona and didn't know what he wanted to do. Well, they actually started doing replica paintings where they were having an artist paint people basically for contract work, and what they found out was the people who were buying the paintings wanted frames, and so they go, oh, that's a good idea. So they started selling frames, and the funny thing was, the frames got more popular than the paintings.
There you go. Yeah.
And then, therefore, after that, it started into custom framing because people were bringing in things they wanted to have framed that weren't just a standard size or anything like that. So they had one store in Tower Plaza Mall back in 1975 with my father and my grandparents. And one day my dad said, hey, Dad, I'm struggling. I got to make more money. How are we going to, you know, do any better? And he said, you need to open up another store. And so that was kind of my dad's takeoff for the Hall of Frames is, you know, being able to offer that creativity and design service and neat, unique framing experience around the city. Mm-hmm. And we are still only Arizona based, and, you know, that's pretty much how we're going to stay.
That's great. And how many family members in total are involved in the business now?
We now have four. It's me, my younger brother, who's just about a year younger than me. He does our purchasing. My dad's still the chief operating officer.
Major domo, yes.
Yeah, he is. Although we're doing a campaign with elves, and we're calling him the chief elf organizer
right
now.
I like that. Ooh, that's good.
And my mother is our secretary. And it's a very tight-knit operation. It really is. A lot of our employees, such as Jeffrey over here, have been around for, you know, 15 years plus. It is, you know, is an absolute pleasure to work with these people and, you know, do what we do for the public. Just a new and exciting kind of thing to do.
And so What do you feel, Jeffrey, why don't you take this one? What do people feel that's different walking into a Hall of Frames store as opposed to others either you've worked in or I'm sure you're constantly scouting what the competition's doing?
It's very familial. When people come in, you know, we greet them and we say hello, and there's no, like, corporate verbiage we lay on them. And we just, embrace them as they come into the store. Our shops are really friendly and organized and really clean.
I notice is you actually have almost like a bar right in front that you come in and you sit down at the stool, mm-hmm. and then can work with those of you that are behind the counter with all the expertise.
People
just that simple touch of being able to sit down.
Yeah. It's not just the moldings on the wall, but they want to know where we get our stools at. It's like, well, just enjoy the stool and we'll start talking about what your needs are here. And yeah, the counters are very welcoming, and you know, they come in and they do sit down, and even if they don't have artwork, we just ask them, you know, why did you come into the shop today? What can we help you with? Mm-hmm. And you know, we just drill them with all these questions, and they go out more confused, but also more informed.
Informed, right. And also the idea that actually there's a lot more creativity to framing than people know how to appreciate.
Absolutely.
And it isn't just the choice of the mat, you know, as the independent components, but it's the real system you're putting together. In fact, the wrong frame can absolutely kill the picture.
It will ruin it, right. Sure. It's like, you know, we always say that framing is a complement to the art piece and not the thing that finishes it. You're framing your project, what you design around the artwork should enhance it and not make it more, you know, as a distraction to the artwork. We're there. We just do what we do to make it all the better,
to make it
more gorgeous for your wall so that you can, you know, love it all the more and not just a temporary thing.
That's right. Sean, you said something in your opening remarks that caught my attention, of course, that many family-run businesses, indeed, truly they are driven by the family, meaning those that you really are genetically connected. But your comment about how many other employees have been with you such a long time, like Jeffrey, I mean, 13 years with you for that long time, some people would say, well, there's no space for me to grow because it's, quote, family run, but that obviously isn't the case.
It's absolutely not the case, and we were actually talking about this earlier today, is the art of framing is really a renewing process because every day people are bringing in things that they love, that there is some importance to what they're framing, whether it be art, a jersey, a moment in time that was special to them, a wedding gift, mm-hmm. and we get to kind of experience that all day long, and it's really a new thing every day because a lot of people go in and you're, you know, selling something on a retail counter, the same things over and over again, but we see new things. We get to get creative, and just having Jeffrey for 13 years and his experience with so many different mediums is really what you get when you go to a Hall Frame store, because you're getting someone who's seen it all, he's done it all, and he's going to bring everything he's got in his past to make your project that much better.
So Jeffrey, though, where do you get your newest ideas from?
I like the pop culture. Mm-hmm. I like watching the TV and, you know, the reality shows of the day. And, you know, when they create these shows whatever the scenario is for the show, it's now. The design is now. And so I keep my eyes peeled for these new design elements. I'm a huge Star Trek fan, and a lot of my inspiration comes from how do Star Trek, the shows from Star Trek, display the artwork or something framed. And there's a lot of little tidbits of information that people don't pay attention to, right, in those shows. It's the background stuff that I look for that is inspiration.
In fact, many times artists and photographers, of course, it's all about managing the light that's mm-hmm. around the object.
Absolutely.
That you're portraying, right? It's the same way with your frames. Of course, it's not just the wood that you're going to select and the mats, but glass or no glass, right? So the distortion that can play out too.
Absolutely.
Yes.
And there's new things out in the market that are even crazier. There's glasses that you can't see. There's glasses
really?
That protect your art. It's pretty unbelievable. We were also talking about how framing is not something you do every day. It's not like going to get your average coffee or anything like that. It's something you do as an occasion, and it's an experience. And so when you go in, there's a lot of these new neat products that people really don't know about. That,
right.
Yeah, there's glass that you can't see, really. They call it museum glass, but it's invisible.
Well, I need to tell the story of how we got connected with you folks, and that was we actually went to a different framing store and they said, we can't help you, this is beyond our bandwidth, but here's the place you need to go. And I would think that that's really one testimonial to a business such as yours, that you are one amongst a community of art-related organizations. And certainly, you know, there's competimates, and you got to watch what the other guy's doing. So, but to get a referral from another colleague's store. Absolutely. That really says a lot.
Absolutely. You know, we do send people to other shops as well. And it is a community, like you said, Zara. We need to support each other. We need to keep it, you know, in the city, within our zone and areas. And if there is something that we can't do, we certainly will send folks to Fry's even if they want something even less expensive that they couldn't find at our shop. Go around the corner, try Fry's. They have a little framing section. And yes, you know, it's nice to get these referrals from other stores and to have customers come in and have that satisfaction of finding a spot that they can get what their request is, you know, find a place to have
that's
that
done. That's great. It'd be interesting to sit down, and I'm sure, I wonder if you too have, you have done this, Sean, as you look for what's the next marketing strategy, ad campaign, whatever, to analyze who your customers are. And how have the customers changed since your grandparents opened the store to where they are now, to even saying where you think they're going?
In my opinion, Jeffrey probably, I'd give him a spot on this too. I think that in the old days, because we were one of the first picture framing stores in town, or at least a local family owned store, we had a lot of, loyal customers, I guess you'd say, who just came to us and they trusted us and they were framing very simple things. And I was talking about this with my father the other day and we were going, why are we so burnt out sometimes after a long day of all these crazy orders? We're framing such unique things.
Yeah, yeah. It's pulling your energy in a different way.
Exactly. I mean, we had some guy a year ago brought in a NASCAR hood and wanted it framed. I mean, it's pretty...
Man after my own heart. I like that. That's a good one. I like that.
Every job is so unique, and Jeffrey could say the same thing. And the way that we approach it at the Hall of Frames, as opposed to maybe somewhere else you might go, is we want to make it look awesome. Mm-hmm. Even if we design something for you on the counter, we might go and take an extra step to add an extra design element that we didn't even talk about that we might know will make it look good. And that's kind of what you get when you come to one of our stores. It's very family owned. It's very creativity based, and customers these days are demanding more unique products. They don't want just the simple cookie cutter thing.
So in some regards, the customers have evolved in a way that really matches the spirit and the intent of your store. Right, Jeffrey?
Absolutely. You know, I think people out there, you know, are more exposed to design elements, all the design shows on TV. These are stimulating thoughts for the clients out there. And so now that they see that, you know, framing is something that could enhance what they have or bring a focal point to a space, now they know that, oh, maybe I should have considered framing instead of, you know, a sculpture or something like that. And then they consider, well, I do have something in my possession that I could go and have framed, bring it to a different level than where it is now, so I can display it nicely and bring a poignant visual, you know, effect to this wall or to that space and
that's
such.
Great. For those of you who just joined us, I'm hosting here in this segment of our show two gentlemen from the Hall of Frames organization, Sean Cogan, who's vice president of marketing and a family member, four generations involved in the business, and Jeff McBride, who runs the Tucson-based store that's at the Crossroads Festival area at Swan and Grant. You've got, you know, this idea that you're part of the legacy in people's memories. You actually are carrying a lot of responsibility in that regard. When someone, I've got to believe, particularly brings an heirloom to you, mm-hmm. you know, it's like they're carrying in their child, you know,
exactly.
Look at this. So it's not the cookie cutter, like you said, but then how you can enhance the history.
To touch on what we were just talking about before, like our client base and how it expands and such, you know, parents will bring in their baby's photograph. 10 years down the road, that child will remember, or maybe not their babies, but their graduation photo, mm-hmm. and then that child will go on to school and graduate, find a wife or a husband and such, and they'll start bringing their artwork into us as well. So it's like the family stays with us once they've discovered
that's
us
nice.
And such.
Yeah, that's nice.
And it's all about preservation. I mean, one of the things in life that we have to hold on to is really our memories, and we had in our slogan for a while that we still use it like where memories last, because when you frame something, it sits on the wall for 10, 15 years, and it doesn't matter what home you go to, it's always going to be there, and it's a way of preservation in a way, to keep it from fading in some aspects, and just to keep it in the visual aspect of your life.
So do you find clients come to you then with their products and say, you know, I just remodeled this room, and the way I framed this 15 years ago doesn't work anymore, so can you help me?
Absolutely, yes.
That's got to be
for
fun.
Sure.
So really, the interior design element for you, you know, you're basically virtually inside their homes or their business office or their establishment.
Absolutely.
I got a funny story about that, actually.
Please.
A couple weeks ago, an older lady came in and she had this floral print, and it had these two green mats on them, and I'm looking through our mats. She wanted new mats. She thought that it got a little dusty under there. She just wanted to look a little more fresh. So we're going through and we're looking for this green color. And I can't find this green color in our mat rack for my life.
Mm-hmm.
And finally I go, you know what? Let me take it in the back. Let me open it up. Let's get the glass off it. Let's see if the glass isn't tinting it a little bit to where we can't match it. And when I pulled it apart, I noticed that the mat was not originally green. It was actually pink. And because things fade over time and they have acids in them, this lady had this pink for maybe 20 years, didn't even remember or know that it was originally pink and wasn't green. So hence, isn't that kind of a funny situation and about framing? But then I started going into how, you know, the new matting on the market is acid-free, it won't fade, you know, you won't realize that something that was now green was pink.
Well, I think the other thing, of course, is for those of us that inherit pictures or, you know, the classic story of someone, well, there was one that someone went to, you know, and bought at the garage sale, you know, in somewhere back east, only to realize what they had bought were original Ansel Adams items that have been lost for years.
Wow.
So I suspect, too, when you get some of those heirloom pieces and you do pull apart and you find the note that was hidden by great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa or whatever, that the history that can unfold for people.
Yeah, that's
the time capsule element of it.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't happen often enough for, you know, the thrill to continue, but a very good client of ours just brought in a dolly, and it was a dolly from a show of his that he obviously did many, many moons ago, and it was just a lithograph. And she said, well, I found this in the closet, and I'd like to display it in our home. And she was wondering if it had any value. Well, I suggested to her write down some notes from the poster, take it home and Google.
Mm-hmm.
And sure enough, she Googled this dolly print, and it was from a museum show he had to honor the Jewish heritage, and she discovered it was worth at least $500, and it was just a litho. So, you know, it was like fun discoveries like that, you know, just pulling something out of the closet and discovering the worth, not just the familiar worth, but the, you know, the monetary worth.
That's exactly right.
Just as important.
Sean, in some of your notes that you passed on to us, you mentioned some really fun campaigns and programs that you have. The Steal the Things They Love campaign. What is that all about?
Well, we came up with this, and I'm sure Jeffrey, I'd love for him to tell a story if he could, too. We came up with this thing because during the holidays, it gets a little crazy. We have a lot of customers coming in, and one thing that we're always known for is doing things last minute, because we're local in town. We can do things up to the last minute.
Yeah.
Christmas, we can custom frame it. We'll work overnight, and so we've come up with this theme of the elves are working late, so you can procrastinate is one. But we get people who like to steal things, and so what we did was we did a survey of customers and our employees who had these stories about someone who actually took something from somebody, whether it be in the closet or on the wall itself, even, and just stole it and had it reframed or had it framed and then gifted it back to him. Because what a surprise to not even notice that your picture that was being hanging on the wall for the last 10 years was missing for a month or a week, per se, even at that. One of the funniest ones we came up with was we came up with this one called an award-winning distraction. We named all these different themed ideas of what people have done, and it was basically a... One of our customers down in Tempe, in the Tempe area, her husband won an Emmy, and she wanted to have this framed. And so what she did was, while he was basically falling asleep on the couch last night in what we called remote control coma in our little ad here, she stole the Emmy and replaced it with one she got at Party City on the mantle so that he wouldn't notice it, had it framed, and then gifted it back to him. And he actually came in and said, hey, you guys have to take a photo of this because I was so shocked at what she did. And so what we think is fun about this whole campaign of steal the things they love and give back a framed gift is it's not necessarily about the final product that comes out, the finished framed gift, but about the story that you get
to
tell.
Absolutely, and the fun and the chicanery, you know, and the Pink Pantherism.
Absolutely.
How
do you get that out of the house without them knowing?
Knowing, you know, and now you're going to foil it through the neighbor to make it. But she went to Party City and got a duplicate. Now that is really gutsy. It also shows us how we were completely oblivious to what's going around. To not miss your real Emmy.
Exactly. To not know that.
Exactly.
Obviously, he wasn't staring at it every day anymore or whatnot. So we on our website, we have a blog and we have a little campaign. You can go there and you can see
And that website, by the way, is hallofframes.com, obviously, but
you,
please.
You got it. You can do hallofframes.com/steal, and you can see these cartoons we created. And they're actually real-life stories of people and the actual final product of what happened. We were able to track back and get some pictures. It's just an entertaining thing. Jeffrey, you got a story? One?
Not necessarily a story about stealing, but maybe a story about how people see or not see the things that are basically around them.
Yes, please.
When we first opened up the shop here at Crossroads, we went out and bought some objects to create a shadow box to put on display to tell folks that you can collect those things that you love and cherish them and put them in a box to put them on the wall. To
like a NASCAR hood, you know, like something minor like that.
Enjoy them in a box and have them on your wall. So we bought this little handbag and some glasses, cat glasses, and some lockets. And so, and there was a hairpin, and the hairpin says Esther. So we created this Esther box, and it's objects of Esther, we called it. Well, after a few years, you know, the little handbag, it was a seed bag, and some of the seeds started popping off, and so I had to open it back up to clean it out. While I did that, I went ahead and slid in a prophylactic into the bag and had a little corner stick out. Very subtle, very soft. You really don't notice it. So this has been hanging in the store now for about 5 years. In those 5 years, there's about three people that noticed the prophylactic sticking out, just gently sticking out of the bag. You know, so it's really like, what do people see, and what are they looking at when they're looking at things? And hundreds of people have walked by this and have said, oh, that's such a lovely shadow box, and what beautiful objects. Only three or four people have
caught the joke.
Walked away, chuckling
like, aha, they got us.
Crazy.
Yeah, they got us.
So it's really fun.
So many of our listeners would realize that obviously working at Hall of Frames is a laugh a minute.
No. It's pretty fun.
Absolutely.
It's pretty fun. You do have a way, though, because you folks are engaged in the community, that also giving back to the community in one of your other programs, the Food for Frames program.
Food for Frames. We came up with this a couple years ago. We really wanted to start, you know, we have a big company, small, medium-sized company, and we have a bunch of locations, and we wanted to be able to kind of help the local charities and food banks during not only Thanksgiving but Christmas time. So we came up with these this campaign of Food for Frames. We had these shirts made for us in the store. I'll give you one, Zara.
Oh, great. All right.
It's a can of food. It says, we'll frame for food.
I love it.
And what we do is basically for every frame that you bring in or every can you bring in or non-perishable item, we'll give you a dollar off your order up to about $10 or so. So we're kind of paying for you to help donate to the charity.
Charity,
or not.
Lovely.
And we're doing it with the Community Food Bank here. Am I correct about that?
Yes.
The Community Food Bank.
That's great. Well, this time of year, it's important. I mean, a lot of small business, of course, in their own right are struggling, but to know that if at the same time you can give back to others, there's a lot of strength that comes back from that.
Absolutely.
That's
Absolutely.
Great. Jeffrey, so you are an artist.
Yes.
And so day in, day out, you get to do that, right, in terms of helping others. How do you feel this type of a career pursuit is fueling your own creative talents then, the work you might do after hours if you so choose to do that?
That doesn't happen as often these days as usual, which is unfortunate. But, you know, I still get to be creative at the store, you know, in a daily business. Working with color, you know, folks coming in and challenging me on every hour, basically throughout the day, bringing us these projects that they have no clue on how they want to approach designing for their home. And trying to come to a great design, I ask hundreds and hundreds of questions, not hundreds, but many questions,
many questions
to get an idea of where it might hang. So there's a challenge for me to try to place myself in that space, to look at the artwork, see how I could bring that art piece to fit into that space with great color, you know, trying to draw out the aura.
Well, one thing that of course people can't see on the radio is the fire that are in people's eyes. And I have to say, for those of you who are listening into our show regularly, to thinking about your own career, your own choices and the trajectory you're going to take, you need to go visit Jeffrey, you know, at Hall of Frames at Swan and Grant, and see him talk about his career, his artistry that he brings forward through contributions to Sean's great and extended family organization. This is a space we want to see people so passionate about what they do, and that you don't call it WORK as a result, right?
Absolutely.
No. No, it's not work. Certainly, I mean, I do have to clock in and clock out, so there are elements that make it work. But, you know, it's a career. You know, I never thought I would be doing this when I grew up, and here I am grown up, and I've been with the company.
Well, you think you're grown up. This man is not really grown up, though, right, Sean?
No, he's fun. He's fun.
And then, Sean, for you, I mean, that decision, you know, that you had said in an earlier remark before we run out of time, that I know you've been working in the back room cleaning glass since you were a little kid.
Yeah.
To think that here you are now, still at a relatively young professional age, though, deeply involved in the family business. I mean, how fun is that?
It is absolutely a pleasure and joy every day. I mean, I get beat up sometimes, but
that's the role you play.
It's the role I play with handling all the stores. But it is an absolute passion, and to be able to work with people like Jeffrey, who have actually trained me, is just phenomenal.
That's great. Well, really pleasure to have the two of you here on the show again. Folks here in southwestern Arizona, you want to visit the Hall of Frames organization, www.hallofframes.com. Tap into Sean Kogan or also Jeff McBride. You can contact the corporate office at 602-923-4998 or here locally in Tucson. It's 318-0044. Happy holidays, gentlemen, and I'm going to look for that Will Frame for Food t-shirt.
You got it. We'll send you one. Thank you, Zara.
Thank you. Very good. Thank you very, very much.
Happy holidays, everybody.
You bet.
Change is chaotic. That is, unless you embrace it, going places you hadn't dreamed were possible. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, is a leadership consulting, executive coaching, and career transition firm. We help individuals make the most of their current employment situation or to step forward confidently into a career transition. Contact us at thelarsongroup.com or toll free 1-877-544-2580. The Larson Group, Architects of Change, 877-544-2580.